I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
When iron ore is mined from the earth, it contains elements that need to be removed in order to purify the ore and make it more useful. The process of removing those elements is called refining. As a young boy, I remember my own crude efforts at refining. My friends and I would collect old wheel weights from cars and trucks. We'd find them along the road or in parking lots, and we'd bring them home. And once we had enough of them saved up, we'd melt them down to make sinkers for our fishing lines. When we would melt those lead weights, the impurities would rise to the top, and we'd skim them off before we would pour the liquid lead into our sinker molds. The stuff we skimmed off the top was worthless, so we just threw it away. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm glad you've joined me today as we look into the Word of God and discuss the process of how faith is refined. The Bible teaches us that our faith does need to be refined, and that suggests there are impurities that need to be removed. The faith we exercise for salvation through Jesus Christ must be purified and perfected in the crucible we call life. Here are the men to tell us about the importance of faith in the life of a Christ follower.
My faith it is an oak and staff, a traveler's well of day. My faith it is a weapon stout, the soldier's trusty blade. I'll travel on and still be stirred by silent thought or social word. By all my perils undeterred, a soldier pilgrim stay.
My faith it is
an oak and staff, a trusty sword, may falsehood find it keen. Thy Spirit, Lord, to me impart, oh, make me what thou ever art. How patient and
the imagery of that song harkens back to an earlier time, but it demonstrates clearly the need for faith in something or someone, something that's trustworthy and dependable. Is your faith trustworthy? Is it dependable? If your faith isn't dependable, it's most likely because the object of your faith is faulty. Is your faith based on a relationship with another person? Are you hoping this relationship will sustain you through the difficult times that will inevitably come to you? Well, if so, I can guarantee you, you will be disappointed, because no human being can provide the strength you need for the trials of life. At some point, they will fail you. They might even just get up and walk out of your life for good. So if your faith is going to stand, it needs a better foundation than human relationships. Or maybe you have faith in your possessions or your money. There are many people like that today. They've stashed away large sums of money, hoping to cover every contingency that life can bring. But all it takes is a diagnosis of a terminal illness, or a major business loss, or an economic crash, and the very object of their faith is ripped away. No amount of money can buy healing for a person who's facing a terminal illness. They will only recover if God grants them healing. So the only objects worthy of our absolute faith and confidence are God Himself and His Word, the Holy Scripture. Putting your faith in anything else or anyone else will only bring you major disappointment in life. Hear the voice of praise to sing about the object of my faith.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abides forever, through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll.
Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love,
oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of life and love.
Thank you, men. Before Dr. Yoder comes with today's message, let's pray together. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before You as the object of our faith. Your Word teaches, and many of us have experienced, that You are completely trustworthy. What a privilege to have such security in a world filled with so much uncertainty. And now, Father, as Dr. Yoder opens the Word to us, I pray Your Holy Spirit will illuminate my heart and the heart of my listening friend. Help us to understand and experience a refined faith in You. I ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Now, I believe everyone has faith. Everyone believes in something. Some try to make their faith as tangible as possible, and so they make objects which they claim are their gods, and they hold them up. The psalmist one time saw that. He said, "The heathen say unto him, Where is now thy God?" They had made their gods of silver and gold and stone, precious metals or wood. But our God is in the heavens. It is important what your object of faith is. Today, many set up themselves as their object of faith. I read a statement some years ago which said, "The self-made man worships his Creator." Did you get that? It's true. Many set up themselves as the object of their faith. The author Peter learned faith in oneself fails under pressure. Yeah, he said he would never deny the Lord, but when the pressure came, he did. His faith failed him. Years later, he could talk about faith from a different angle. And as he was writing this letter, he did it. He wrote about the refining of faith. Now listen as I read our text, 1 Peter 1, 6-12. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Praise God. In Peter's words about refined faith, we find several details to help us maximize our experience. First is the trial of our faith. It causes great joy. The apostle puts it that way. He said, "In this you greatly rejoice." The trial of our faith should create in us joy. We should joy when we are tried for our faith. But it also creates heaviness. It creates sorrow. It creates sorrow for a season, just for a time. That will pass. But the trial of our faith, Peter says it outweighs gold, the highly refined gold, tried with fire. The refining process of gold, I understand, is to heat it, and then to skim off the imperfections. That is done until there's nothing but pure gold. Peter says that the trial of our faith is more precious than that. It will outlast gold, yes, of course, because gold is of this world. Our faith is out of this world. It reaches to the appearing of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? The 7th verse tells us that your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of our faith is one of the details contributing to refined faith. Our refined faith needs trial to temper it. And then there is the end of our faith. The object of our faith is clearly stated. It is Jesus Christ. Peter carries Jesus Christ on from verse 7 to the 8th verse with a relative pronoun whom, referring back to Jesus Christ. Whom, having not seen, ye love. The object of our love, the end of our faith, is our love for Jesus. We love him, in spite of the fact that we have never seen him. We love him. We know that he is real, and we know that he will appear, so it brings us joy unspeakable and full of glory, because even though we don't see him, yet we believe, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we're going to see him someday. The Bible says we shall. When he shall come, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. The end of our faith is to be able to see him who is our Savior, and there will be that final salvation, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The final salvation will be our entrance into glory, the end of our faith. The object of our love for Christ, our joy in him, and the final salvation of entering into glory. Our refined faith takes us to the glorious end, our final salvation. Oh, praise God. Now, the third detail of refined faith is the source of our faith. I say it this way because the Apostle Peter carries us further by talking about the salvation the prophets have inquired and searched for and found. The prophets searched and prophesied of the grace that should come unto us, Peter said. We may sometimes think that our faith is just at the moment, but we must remember that our faith has a long history. It reaches back to the prophets. In fact, I should say it reaches all the way back to Adam. Our faith, the source of our faith, reaches all the way back to Adam. However, the Apostle Peter concentrates upon the prophets, and he said that they spoke about the grace that should come to us. They were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. They saw Jesus coming, and they saw him coming and his suffering, and they saw how that would be ministering unto us. They testified. They wrote about the coming and suffering of Jesus Christ. and it was revealed unto them that they were not only writing for themselves, but they were writing for succeeding generations. For us, all the way down to the here and now, they were writing for us. They ministered unto us, and they ministered unto those sojourners, those believers that Peter was writing to, because they heard the gospel. They heard the message of the gospel that was preached unto them. And so it has been with us. If you are a Christian, you listen to the gospel that was preached. So the source of our faith reaches all the way back to the prophets. Our refined faith has its source in the prophets long ago. It is not only for now. Oh, no. So then, my friend, our faith, therefore, is refined, as we have seen, by these details. By the trial of our faith, by the end of our faith, and by the source of our faith. We're not alone in the walk of faith, by no means. Many have walked before us, and many walk with us. Our fathers have also had that faith. Now let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, again we glorify thee and approach thy throne of grace through the mighty name of Jesus. We thank thee that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is above all, and we can come in his name, knowing for certain that thou dost hear us. Now, Father, we pray that as we meditated together about our refined faith, it will come clear to us, and we will understand more and better what the Scripture teaches us about the trial of our faith, about the end of our faith, and about the source of our faith. Help us, dear Lord, my friend and me, to capitalize, to maximize this in personal life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, choir, for that hymn of consecration. I hope that's your prayer, friend. The message of that song resonates well with the teaching Dr. Yoder presented to us. It's a prayer for our faith to be refined, and it highlights the source of our faith as found in Jesus Christ. Now, most of us, if not all of us, know people who have experienced extreme pain and loss, emotional or physical. When these things happen, lots of questions arise, questions that we have no satisfactory answers for. How do you answer the why of a wife whose husband has been taken, leaving her with small children? Or a husband whose wife is taken, leaving him in the same situation? How do you explain to parents that their child, and maybe their only child, has a terminal illness and is only expected to live a short time? We simply do not have the answers to these kinds of questions, and we're only kidding ourselves if we think we do. But that's not to say we have no hope. No, 1,000 times no. We have the promises of God's Word to sustain us in the times when our human intellect fails. As followers of Christ, we accept the promises of God's Word by faith. We embrace God's sovereignty, His ability to know all things. We understand and we accept that He sees the big picture, while all we can see is our limited frame of reference. We understand the trials we face reinforce the knowledge of our own mortality, and so they help us to focus on what really matters, that which is eternal. Yes, my friend, be assured, when the events of life don't make sense, Jesus cares.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in His fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of Thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to Thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread His praise from shore to shore. How He loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How He watcheth,
My friend, maybe you're experiencing a very difficult situation in your life. Perhaps you're even questioning if Jesus really does care. If you're going through that kind of situation, we'd like to pray for you. Because you see, knowing that others are joining you in your time of need brings encouragement. Having others join you in prayer helps to lighten the load. And we'd like to pray with you and for you. But we can't do that unless we know what your need is. So write and let us know how we can pray for you. There are several ways you can contact us. You can send us an email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can simply pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292. And if you'd like a copy of this teaching, I'm glad to inform you that we recently had this whole series reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. And we'd be happy to mail a copy to you for a donation of any amount. Some unknown author wrote these words: "In adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job when He wants to do an improving job. To realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the storm." Now, once again, I urge you to write and share your prayer need with us. We'll be happy to pray for you. You can send us an email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or just pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Thanks for tuning in to The Voice of Hope today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the Epistle of Peter with a message titled, "Gird Up Your Mind." You won't want to miss it. So plan to join us. And until then,
now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us.
To Him be glory in the church and glory Christ church and glory Christ church and nation Christ generations to the church and glory Christ church and Christ generations to all generations and glory Christ church and Christ generations.
Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do